Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachas Daf Nun Dalid. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur will begin from the very bottom of Nun Gimel Omid Beis. The topic that you can see referred to by our topic heading feature in the outside margin under the heading Nosei, Nosei being the topic, we've written in at the bottom of Nun Gimel Amud Beis, Chimutz al Yedei Tapuchim, creating fermentation through the use of apples. Up till now, we've discussed the issue of creating chometz when necessary, in the case as is the case with the Shtei Alechem and the 10 of the 40 loaves of the Korban Toidah. How is chimutz established or created? So we saw a reference to the making of sa'or, of sourdough, which causes the rest of the batter to rise. In this case, the Gemara will deal with the creation of the rising phenomenon through the use of apples. Rising, we mean chimutz. That doesn't necessarily mean something is going to rise to become very bloated, if you will. That's not the point over here. The point simply is the necessity of having this part of the lechem, lachmei Torah, the 10 of the 40 loaves, or the shtei lechem becoming chometz. How is that achieved? So in our case, at the bottom of Nun Gimel Amudeis, we see a Tanaic source that begins, Tonu Rabbonan, Ein Machmitzin Betapuchin. Mishum Rabbi Chanino ben Gamliel Amru Machmitzin. So we see a Tanaic controversy here as to whether one is going to accomplish chimutz through the use of apples. According to the Tanakhama, it's not considered chimutz ma'alya, as Rashi says. It's not considered a good quality fermentation. According to Rabbi Chanino ben Gamliel, it is. Rav Kahana Masni Lo b'Rabbi Chanino ben Tradion. Instead of the name as we see in the source, Rabbi Chanino ben Gamliel, Rav Kahana has a different version, namely Rabbi Chanino ben Tradion, as the one holding Machmitzin b'Tapuchim. The Gemara asks a question. It lasts a few lines, as you can see from our long question marking. To the you'll see a shin to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. And it lasts 4 lines, all of the lines of the Gemara that are opposite this vertical dashed line that descends from the shin constitute the question. So the Gemara asks, Keman Azlo Hodisnab. We want to know who the following Tanaic source would be in accordance with. The source deals with Truma, the tithe given from one's produce to a Kohen. The source says, Tapuach Shiriskoi, V'nosnoi b'socha isa, an apple that was mashed and put into dough, v'chimtza, and it caused the dough to ferment. Hare zu asura. The dough is then osir, is forbidden for a non-kohen to eat it. The idea here is that apparently the fermentation that the truma mashed apple afforded is considered a good quality fermentation, hence its effect is felt and is present, and is therefore causes the batter, the baked good, to take on the truma identity. So the Gemara says, Keman, this source would go according to Lemo Rabbi Chanino ben Gamliel hi. V'lo Rabbonon. Should we suggest that this conforms only to Rabbi Chanino, but the Rabbonon would disagree? The Rabbonon would be that shita that appeared in the source with which we opened our shiur today, that said, Ein machmitzin betapuchim, the feeling being that chimutz is not really achieved through the use of apples. If you see, as in this source, that the fermentation associated with the apples is considered usur and considered as truma, it means that the dough has become, takes on a truma status. It must be that the fermentation achieved through the apples is considered pronounced and felt, and hence causing the rest of the dough to take on the category of truma, hence usur to non-kohanim. The Gemara says we're not going to conclude that this source is only according to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. Afilu teima Rabbanan. It can be understood even according to the Rabbanan. You'll ask, but according to the Rabbanan, chimutz is not really achieved through the apples. So the Gemara says, Nehi dechametz gomor lo havi. Granted, it's not complete, full, high-quality fermentation. Nuksha mio havi. Nuksha is an expression meaning poor quality. A poor quality fermentation it is, however, and that is sufficient to render the rest of the batter forbidden to a non-kohen. You can see we have a slash in the Gemara that indicates that which follows is a new idea. In the outside margin, we have a nosei, a topic heading, machloikes, there will be a controversy, im mutter lohoisif mayim leminchas choite. Is it allowed to add water to the sin, the meal offering brought by a chote, by a sinner, a sinner's meal offering? The issue of adding the water will figure in the ability or the ease with which one will eventually be able to take the handful, as the Gemara will explain. The Gemara inside now, Omar Rabbi Ilo, Ein l'cho ha-koshe l'kmitzu yoyser mi-minchas chote. Of all the menachos, of all the meal offerings, the hardest one to take a handful from is the sin offering, the meal sin offering. The feeling at this point is that it's dry. It has no, it's flour basically, and to take an exact handful without having a little extra or without having the grains of flour flowing out of the handful, leaving you with a diminished handful, that ability to achieve that, to have a perfect handful as is required for a kmitza, for a handful of mincha, when you're dealing with something dry, it's hard to achieve that. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi Omar, Minchas Chote, Rabbi Yitzchak disagrees and says that the sin offering, the sin meal offering, Megabla b'mayim ukshera, you can knead it, Megabla, knead it with water, and it's kosher. And if you take a handful of dough as opposed to a handful of flour, then it's easy to adjust the amount in the handful to be an exact handful. So according to Rabbi Yitzchak, he would not categorize the taking of the handful of a minchas chote as being something difficult. Lema b'hal kumifligi. Should we say, or can we say, that the point of controversy between these two opinions of Ilan and Rabbi Yitzchak is as follows? And you can see we have this volcano shape, this new geometric form around the expression komifligi, and the outside margin you can see under our mivneh heading, mivneh being a structural note. We attempt to offer explanations for the new geometric forms as they come per sugya under such a heading, mivneh. So here we've written hezberim b'may komifligi. These will be offers of, or explanations as to what Rav Ila and Rav Yitzchak are arguing about. So the suggestion right now is lema b'hokamivligi. Let us say that it is in the following that they argue: demar savar kamois shehein misharinan, umar savar lekamois shehoyu misharinan. That when you have to make an evaluation or an estimate of quantity, according to Rav Yitzchak, who said that the taking of the handful is not of the minchas chote is not necessarily something difficult. He was the one that said you can add water, and that's because kamos shehein means as it is right now. You make the evaluation. In other words, we have to fill up an isaron of isaron is a measure that constitutes the amount for the mincha. The amount of the mincha is measured in an isara. So the kometz that he is taking is figured as it is right now, namely with the water added. And that is the way you measure the kometz. Umosavar lekamos shohoyu misharinon. And Rabbi Ilo, who says it's very difficult to take the kometz, is because you have to take into consideration of how much there was before anything was added to it, before any water was added. So that even if you do add water, at this point the feeling is that Rabbi Ilo holds you could add the water, but what makes it so difficult is because you have to calculate how much flour is in this handful that would have been a handful without the water added. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Rabbi Yitzchak Savar, Kamos Shehu Achshav, Misharin Lekoimetz, Havalei Kometz Malyo. Whatever fills the handful right now, that is enough. So that if you have a handful of kneaded dough with the water added, making it dough, all you have to make sure is that your handful is full of the dough. V'Rav Ilo, Rashi goes on to say, Savar Lekamos Shehen. That means as it was, ki ilu hoya kemach misharinon, v'nimtzo yeser ochoser. You take a handful of dough. What we're interested in is that the handful should have in it a handful of material of flour. The dough that's in your hand should contain an amount of flour that would have been a full handful had there been no water added. Now that's very difficult to calculate, because you'll turn out, generally speaking, either too much or too little. Di ovohi ho'isa, if the dough is a thick consistency, then choser nivcha kimlo komet soles yoser mishim hoya hakemach. The density of dough that's kneaded with little water in such a batter, the dough, the flour, becomes very dense, so to speak. And if you fill up your handful with a thick type batter, the amount of flour in that thick type batter will be greater than a handful of the flour alone that's contained in that same quantity. So that since you have to evaluate according to this Havamina, according to the Fi Rab Ila, the Kamos Shehoyu, as it was, if it's a thick batter, you're in effect going to be having too much flour. V'im rachu, Rashi goes on to say, misrabe nifchoi bimloi koimetz v'choser silto. If it's a loose batter, so the amount of flour that's in this batter, in fact, is, if you have, let's say, a handful of loose batter dough, the amount of flour that's in that, in fact, is would come out to be less than a handful of flour. So should we say that the machlokas between Rav Ilo and Rav Yitzchok concerns this topic, namely how you evaluate things? Do you look at things as they are right now? And that would be Rav Yitzchok's approach, who did not indicate any difficulty in taking the kometz, and Rav Ilo, who indicated that there is a difficulty. It's because he takes into consideration an evaluation based on what was originally before the water was added. The Gemara says, Loi, that's not the controversy. And now the Gemara will present what we had mentioned earlier in our introductory remarks. The Kule Alma Kamos Shehein Misharinon. Everyone agrees that evaluations are made based on the way things are right now. Ubeha Komifli, and in the following is their controversy. The Mor Savar Mai Charevo Charevo Mishemen. Rabbi Yitzchak, who says you're allowed to add water, he holds that when the Torah describes the Minchas Chote as being chareva, as being dry, it means lacking oil alone. Just oil is not to be added, but water could be added. Umor Sovar, chareva mikol davar. Rabbi Ila says nothing at all is to be added. It's dry. As a result of it being dry, meaning just flour,
it remains difficult to take a handful of just flour. This we had mentioned earlier, maybe we mentioned it prematurely, but now's the time to go over it. When taking a handful of flour, since it's dry and granular, so there's a tendency for the grains to be loose and fall out of the handful that you're trying to clasp. Likewise, it could be that you'll have extra because of this fear, so that to have an exact handful as is required is in fact difficult to ensure. We should point out that this sugya that we just made reference to, Kamos Shehoyu and Kamos Shehein Achshav, is a sugya that will continue to daf Nun Hei Omid Aleph. If we glance at the outside margin before we go on in the Gemara, we have a Nosei heading, and we've indicated until Nun Hei Omet Aleph, Machloikis Bameh Mesharin, a controversy will be featured in the Gemara, in the issue of making a calculation. When you are trying to quantify things or calculate quantities, do you say Aleph Kamos Shehein? Achshav, look at the way, or the look at the size, the quantity of things as they are right now, or beis kamos shehoyu, or try to make an estimation of what the item you're dealing with looked like, or what quantity was there of it beforehand, before whatever change may have taken place right now. The Gemara opens up with a Tanaic source, from Maseches Uktzin. Following this two-line Tanaic source, there will be a Amoraic controversy, three Rabbonin versus three Rabbonin. Tanan Hosam, Bosar Ho'egel Shinispach. If you had some meat, calf meat, that originally was less than a kibetza, an egg in quantity, an egg's worth, an egg's quantity of calf meat. Shenispach, and it bloated, it expanded to become a kibetza. The issue of a shiur kibetza figures prominently in the realm of tumas oichlin. If you have food that had absorbed tuma, a ritual impurity, is it capable of transferring the tumah upon contact to another food item? Well, that is dependent upon it having the necessary quantity. The minimum quantity for tumas ochlin is a kibetza. In this case, we're describing a piece of meat that originally was not a kibetza in quantity, and now, in the meantime, it expanded. Another case, Ubazar zekena, meat from an older animal that had originally a kibetza in it. Shenismayich, and it contracted, and now it's less than a kibetza. Mishtarin lekamos shehein. That's the end of the source, but the expression lekamos shehein is a vague expression. The source is saying you make your evaluation lekamos shehein, according to it. According to its quantity. Are you talking about its present quantity? Or are you telling me to make your evaluation based on the original amount? This is a machlokes. Three against three. You have Rav, Reb Chiya, Reb Yochanan, Amri. They together say, Mishta'arin means you evaluate, Kamos Shehein, as it is right now. In other words, the expression of the Tanaic source that said the Kamos Shein is really saying the Kamos Shein Achshav, as it is. So these three Rabbonim are saying their pshat in this Tanaic source. On the other hand, Shmuel, Reb Shimon, Bar Rebbe, Veresh Lakish, Amri, they say you make your evaluation or your estimation, Mishtarin LeKamos Shehoyu, as it was in the past. So that if you have bloated Basar Egel, that it's a kibetza only as a result of its being bloated, according to this approach, the Rish Lakish approach, it's not considered a kibetza, because you look at it as it was. As we go on in the Gemara, we may be making reference to two names as opposed to six names, and that's for the sake of brevity. So we'll be referring to Rabbi Yochanan versus Reish Lakish. Before we go on in the Gemara, let's take advantage of our marking system. We have a triangle that appears now with a colored in tip. And the outside margin, we have a mivneh, a structural note. With this form, the triangle with colored in tip pointing upwards, that's l'toivas kamois shein achshav. This will be a source cited, or the attempt of the Gemara to say something to the benefit of the approach that says, look at things as they are right now. In other words, you don't have to factor in what the size of the substance was originally. On Amud Beis, we'll notice this triangle form flipping over, the point facing down. That's L'toivas Kemos Shehoyu. There will then be citations that would figure to benefit the approach that says, evaluate things based on what they were in the past. So the Gemara continues. Meisvei. Basar ho'egel shelo hoya boy kishur. Calf meat that originally did not have the necessary quantity. V'tofach v'mar al kishur. And it expanded, and now has, as a result of its expansion, it now has a shiur. Tor l'shaavar v'tomei mikanu labo. Items that had come into contact with it in the past, before it bloated, are tor. They remain unaffected. However, if at the point it becomes bloated and becomes tomei, it then touches other things, it will convey tuma. That's tomei mikanu labo. This approach says you look at the way things are as you find them, as they are right now. And hence, this is a kasha on Reish Lakish. And that is what we try to indicate with our triangle with the point facing up, to bring a kasha on that approach of that Reish Lakish represented. The Gemara says this is not a kasha mi de rabbonan. Here you see a stringency of the rabbonan, whereby the rabbonan is saying something that really started off as being less than a shear shouldn't, on a Torah level, should not communicate any tumah. But from a rabbinic standpoint, a stringency is imposed, and that's why it says here, tomei mikanu labo. From the point that it reached its shear as a result of the bloating, it then is tomei. The Gemara asks, I hachi emos seifa. The seifa of this source says, v'chein v'pigol v'chein v'noisar. There's a havamina right now. That means there's a thought to explain the seifa. When it says pigul anoser, it would mean that if you have a piece of meat that originally was less than the required amount to mechayev someone in one of these averas, pigul or nosar, and it bloated, and is at right now it has the necessary shear, the necessary quantity, one, if he eats it, would be over. He would be in violation of pigul or nosar. So the Gemara explains, "E amr is bishlam d'oraisa." If you say that this halacha is d'oraisa, not like we answered midrabbana, but it's d'oraisa, and that would entail us looking at things the way they are right now. And if you say that's the case, "Haynu diko pigul v'noiser," then I can understand where these isurim come in—the isurim of pigul and noiser. Those are Torah type, Torah level prohibitions. Elo yamr is d'rabbanan. However, if you say that this source is the source that was followed the triangle is purely rabbinic, then pigol v'nosar b'drabbonim mi'ika. Is there such a thing as pigol and nosar in the realm of rabbinic laws? Pigol and nosar are korbonos related problems. Pigol being a korban that was processed with the intent to eat it at the wrong time, and nosar is korban meat that's left over. Where do you have pigul and noser midrabbanan? So the Gemara answers, "Emo v'chein betumas pigul v'chein betumas noser." In fact, the source is, with its reisha and sefer, talking on a rabbinic level. And when it says v'chein betpigul v'chein betnoser, we're talking about the tumah of pigul and the tumah of noser. This concept of tumah that applies to pigul and noser is a rabbinic idea.
And the sugya itself that expounds upon this is found in Maseches Psochin. But for our purposes, this knowledge that Pigul and Noser are ritually impure, that's a rabbinic teaching.
Since the whole institution of Tuma by Pigul and Nosar is a rabbinic institution, and we say rabbinic, it means even if the meat had the proper quantity at the outset, there still would have been, or there's a Tuma that is associated with that. With Pigul and Nosar. But since the whole concept of Tumas Pigul and Tumas Nosar itself is rabbinic, Kulehai Bidrabonon Lo Ovud Rabbonon, I would have thought that to go so far as to say that even something that started out as having less than the required quantity, and it simply expanded to having the required shiur, namely, it didn't start off this way, so I would have thought that to such an extent in a rabbinic area of halacha like this tuma, the tuma pigul and noser, lo ovid rabbanon, the rabbanon would not have imposed their tuma de rabbanon in this case as well, namely the case where something did not, where it started off as having less than the necessary quantity. Komash Malan, the source tells us when it says v'chein b'pigul v'chein b'noser, that in fact the rabbanon do go so far as to say when we impose our din of Tuma on Pigul and Nosar, we intend to include meat, korban meat, that originally was less than the required quantity.
Toshma, Basar Zekeno, Sheobo Kishur, meat from an old animal that had the expected Shiur. We're talking once again about Tuma, Tumas Ochlin, Vitsomach, and it contracted, lepochos mikashur, reduced size, so that if you're talking about a shiur kebeitza, it's now less than a beitza. Tomei l'shavar v'tor mikama labo, things that came into contact with it in the past before it contracted, they will be tomei. However, issues concerning tuma from the point it contracted onwards remain tohar. That shows us we look at the way things are right now. If right now it's less than a shiur, then it won't communicate tuma, even though it started off as having a shiur. So, as we said, this is a kasha on Reish Lakish. Omar Rabo.
Rabo attempts an approach to the Tanaic sources that we've seen so far, and he tries to explain or to set up the machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan according to certain terms. And we'll see on Amud Beis the issue of do you say there is dichui b'isurin or not. However, the approach that Rabbo takes to, let's say, resolve the sources with the shitas, his explanation will turn out to be untenable, and we'll see why later. Omar Rabo, kol hecho de meikora have bei vahashto les bei ha les bei. Any situation that you had a quantity of food, and at the outset it had the necessary amount. If you want to talk about a shiur kabeza, so be it. If it had a shiur of an egg quantity, and now it doesn't have the egg quantity, it shrunk. So the Gemara says, well, halespe, it doesn't have the required shiur, the required amount for communicating tuma. The chol hecho de meikora lo have be vahashto have be midrabanan. Any situation that originally the substance had a shiur, originally it did not have the required shiur, and now it has. So the fact that now it has, we say on a rabbinic level, tuma will be communicated. So let's just go over the last two scenarios. The first one was where something starts out as having the required shiur, and now it has become reduced. Or something else, or a different case,
where originally it did not have the shear, it started off as being reduced, and now it's expanded. Those two cases, there's no argument concerning those two cases. And this second case, we say, is midrabbanan. Right now, it has the required shiur, so on a rabbinic level, it is metame. Ki pligi, when is there a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and company versus Reish Lakish and company? As we said before, we saw Rabbi Yochanan aligned with two other rabbanan, just like Reish Lakish. So when is there controversy? Kegoin shoyabo kishur v'tsoma v'chozar v'tofach, a substance that originally had the required amount, it shriveled, and at the point that it shriveled, it went to a quantity under the required amount, and then bloated again. Before going into the Gemara, let's take advantage of some of the marking features we have in the margins of this Gemara. The outside margin, you have a nosei, a topic heading. Aliba de Rabba, according to Rabba, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Chokin the Im Yesh Dichui Beisurim. He holds that the machlokes between the group of three verses three Rabbanon concerns this issue: is there Dichui in Isurim? What that means, we'll wait for in the Gemara. Bahem Shech, in the continuation of our sugya, HaGemara Tidche Hezber Zeh, the Gemara will reject this Hezber, the Omro, by announcing She'ein Mande Omar Shiz, where there is no Mande Omar that will hold Diyesh Dichui Beisurin, that there is Dichui when it comes to matters that are otherwise prohibited. Dichui meaning something that's cast away or rendered as not part of the discussion. Before we go on in the Gemara text itself, we also have a little chart on the inside margin, and we've entitled it Aliba de Rabba Pligi Bedichui Isur. According to Rabba, the machlokis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, each Rav with their own additional rabbis, concerns this issue called Dichui Beisur. We have on this chart, you see the word Shi'ur with a number 1 next to it, an arrow pointing down to the word Nisma'it, and to the immediate right-hand side of that word you have a number 2, and Chozar L'Shi'ur, that's number 3. We're going to talk about a substance that we start off having the necessary amount. In the interim, it became diminished. And Rashi explains that what Rabba is trying to do, he's trying to align or make sense out of the different Tanaic sources that we saw quoted in Amud Aleph. So he tells you that at the point that Nisma'it sets in, the mokar for this issue of is the mokar that mentioned the Basar Zekeno Shetzomak. And then the meat that had become reduced, it expands again. That's the third stage, Chozar L'Shiur. So you can see on the chart we have 1, 2, and 3. There are 3 stages where it had the right quantity. It then became reduced, and then the Shiur was restored. And the Mokar that the Rabbi Yitzchok calls that's associated with this is the Mokar of Basar Egel Shenispach, another source that we had read already on Amud Aleph. The case of the calf meat that expanded. So you can see the according to Rabba, the machlokas concerns this specific case where it started off having the quantity, in the interim it became diminished in quantity, and subsequently it expanded again.
The Gemara at the top line, ki pligi kagon shehoya bo kishiur. We're talking about a batter that had, a piece of meat that had the proper amount, enough to create tumas ochlin. The tzamak, in the interim, it became reduced in size. The chazer v'tofach, and later beyond that, it expanded again. The morsavar yesh dichui bisura. Reish Lakish will hold that when you're dealing with things that are usur, like we're dealing with right now, tumas oichlin, something can be cast away.
out of the topic. Umosavar ein dichui beisura, that once something is in the topic of tumas ochlin, the fact that it became reduced in size is not sufficient grounds for casting it away, for saying dichui. Before going on in the Gemara, let's glance again at the source, at the illustration we have on the inside margin, where I think you will appreciate it now a little more. On the chart, we have a description of something that starts off with the shiur, it then gets reduced, and then expands again. The sources that dealt with this topic are sources that we saw on Omid Aleph. One speaks about the Basar Zakena Shitzomach, and the other source dealt with a Basar Egel Shenispach. When we read the source of Basar Egel Shenispach, Rashi explains, according to this approach, that was a third stage of things that were happening earlier. On the chart, we've included the following. The Rabbi Yochanan, we've underlined his name on that inside margin. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Hoyol Umeikara Hoya Bo Shiur, since, and you can see we have a little arrow on the left-hand side of the chart with Rabbi Yochanan's name written in next to it. What the arrow illustrates is this point. Since it originally had a shiur, now that it has regained that quantity, we can bechayev even d'oraisa. And according to Reish Lakish, who says, yesh dichu b'isurin, something that's osir can become cast out of that realm. V'kevon on the idchi idchi, and once something is cast out, it's cast out. V'lo mekabel oid tuma midoraisa el midrabanan. And according to Reish Lakish, when it is in the interim state of nismait, at that point, you have this idchi, it's nismait, and therefore it's out of the realm of tumas ochlin, because it's become reduced in size. So once you say it's out of the realm of tumas ochlin, it cannot become reintroduced into that realm. That's the concept of dichui. The Gemara now asks a question, and it lasts a number of lines. We have a vertical dashed line that follows, indicating the length of the question. And the Gemara asks, "Umi iko lemanda Omar? Is there an opinion, the yesh dichoi b'isurin, that there is such a concept?" V'atlan, we have the following Tanaic source. Actually, before reading the source, we want to point out another marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You will notice a dalet that's encircled, and a vertical dashed line follows. All of these lines form what we call the dihui, the rejection of a suggestion that there is a manda omar, that there's an opinion that holds yesh dihui b'isurim. We now read the Tanaic source. V'hotnan, kebeitza oichlin, if you had an egg quantity of food substance, shinicho b'chamo, that was placed in the sun, v'nismatu, and it shrunk as a result of its exposure to the heat. And now there's a list of other things that also are described as shrinking. V'chein kezayas min hames, an olive quantity of human dead meat. Dead human meat. Kezayas min hanavela, an olive quantity of dead animal. U'ke'adosha min hasheretz, an adosha is a quantity, adosha is sometimes translated as a lentil amount of a sheretz, ukezayas pigol, an olive quantity of pigol from a korban, ukezayas nosar, and an olive quantity of nosar of leftover sacrificial meat, ukezayas chelev. All of these things, that they started off as having the required quantity for each one of these different problems, and after being left in the sun, they became reduced. Tahorin, v'ein chayovin alein mishum pigol noiser v'tamei. Tahorin is an expression that's appropriate for examples 1 through 4, which were issues of ritual impurity. And examples 5, 6, and 7 are enumerated here, so that if they become reduced, then they don't pose a problem. Hinichon b'gshamim, these very items that became reduced were then placed in the rain. betochu, and they expanded. After absorbing water, they then expanded tamein. V'chayoven alei mishum pigul v'noiser v'tomei. The original problem that they may have posed is reinstated. So it shows us that when something, though it experienced a point at which it was nidche, at which it had become, in this case, reduced and cast out of the topic, it nevertheless doesn't represent a permanent dismissal. It becomes reinstated. So this is a rejection of the manda omar, or of the suggestion that's a manda omar, yesh dichui biisurin. Tiyufta, this is certainly a rejection of such an opinion. Therefore, what Rabbah tried to do, namely, if we just go back over the sequence of events, Nun Dalit Amin Aleph, before Rabbah entered the picture, we brought a source in to propose a problem to Reish Lakish that says we judge things as they are right now. That's what the source seemed to indicate, and that would have been a problem for Reish Lakish. Rabbah, on the other hand, came and took that source and said that the source really is not to be read on its own, but really was a part of a sequence of events. And that the case of the Besar Zekena was a situation where it had a shear and became reduced. And as you could see on our chart that we have on the upper corner of Nun Dalamet Beis, that was a middle part of the sequence. And later on, that expanded again. And that was what was represented in the Besar Egel Shnitpach source that opened up the Sukya. So Rabbah was trying to say that explain that this source at the bottom of Nun Omen Aleph wasn't a rejection of Shitas Reish Lakish, but rather it was describing a sequence of events, and Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan were arguing concerning a situation when you have that sequence of events. However, the Gemara took Rabbah's analysis just now and rejected it. If that be the case, then we're going to go back to the original approach we took to the Machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Very simply, are you to evaluate things based on the way they are right now, or based on the way they were originally? At this point, the Gemara continues. And however, a triangle appears with an inverted point facing down, and that indicates that what we'll see now will actually benefit Reish Lakish's approach to things, namely evaluate things as they were. Toshma. We're also going to call this Reisha so that we can make reference to this later on in context of the Seifa, the latter part. So this is the early part of a Tanaic source that's presented in this sugya in parts. We might also note to the outside margin, we have a Nosei heading. Hemshech leNosei Shebon Aleph. This is a continuation of the topic we started already on Omen Aleph. E lekamos shein achshav o lekamos shehoyu misharin. Do we evaluate sizes and quantities based on the way things are right now, or based on what they were in the past? Hoychochos mehafroshos trumos emaisus. We will see, as far as trying to establish this controversy, proofs brought from the realm of tithing of produce, the taking of tithes of trumos and maisus. We also noted, of course, that this continues till Nun Hei Omen Aleph, this discussion. Toshma, tormin te'enim al hagrogros b'minyon. One is allowed to tormin. In this case, at this moment, we're going to translate the word tormin as the tithing of maisrus. Toreim sometimes is associated with truma, but toreim also can mean the lifting up of something in separating it. That's tormin. So here we're talking about separating maisrus. And what are we tithing from? We're tithing figs. What is he doing? He's removing figs to cover Dried figs. Grogros are dried figs. What it says here is in this source, tormentanim ala grogros beminyan. If you had, let us say, to keep things very simple, you had 10 fruits. Some of them were dry and some of them were fresh. You are allowed to take a fresh teina to cover the grogros, so that if you had, even if you had, let's say, 9 dried figs and 1 fresh fig, you can remove a fresh fig to cover the 1 fresh fig to cover the 9 dried figs. And that's what the word beminyan, minyan means, the individual numbers, the numbers of items. So you are mafrish maisris according to the individual number, the number of individual items. What does this show us about our topic? So, as we go on in the Gemara, we'll point out, Iyamr's Bishlamo, if you say one way, things work out well. And if you go to the next line, you say, Elo Iyamr's, you notice we've squiggle underlined these two expressions, helping to highlight the two opinions. So, the first side is, Iyamr's Bishlamo, the Kamos Shehoyu Misharinon Shapir. If you look at items as they were in the past, in other words, the dried figs were once fresh. So that I'm looking at these 10 fruits as 10 fresh figs. Shapir, then this method of tithing makes sense. It's fine. It's smooth. You're expected to remove 1 out of 10 in order to accomplish Hafroshus Maisris. And that's what he just did. If, however, you look at things as they are right now, what am I doing? I've got 1 fresh fig. A fresh fig is much larger than a dried fig. So I have 10 fruit items, 9 of which are dry, 1 of which is fresh. The fresh fig represents, in terms of amount, it represents a greater quantity than a tenth. Havile marbe b'maisris, by removing a fresh fig to cover the dried figs, I'm in effect removing a greater quantity than 1/10. It's true, it's 1 of 10 fruits, but this particular fruit, the fresh one, is larger than any 1 of the 9 dried figs. So, in effect, I'm taking off more than 1/10 in my tithing. Vitanyo, and we have a Tanaic source that says this is not good. Hamarbe b'maisris, one who takes off more than 1/10 in his tithing of maisris. Peroisav mesukonim, the remainder fruit that were beneficiaries of the tithing are, in fact, Mesukon means they're tithed and you can eat them. However, umaisroisav mikukolin, that which you removed as the tithe is messed up. It has, it in effect has a mixture in it of maisris and chulin. That's called mikukal. Elo mai. So then, what do you want to say? Lekamos shehoyu, that the easier approach or the smoother approach would be that we look at the way things were, and the dried figs were once fresh. So that if I move 1 fresh fig to cover the others, and I'm viewing them as what? As also being fresh. So is that the way, that's the way to look at things? Eimo seifa. So then state the seifa of the same source. And we're now embarking on a question that will ask a few lines. So, and the question is, once again, to bear in mind, if you're telling me to look at things as kamos shahoyu, as they were, so what does it say in the seifa? Grogros al hateinim, one is allowed to tithe dried figs to cover the fresh figs, b'mida. B'mida means in quantity as opposed to individual number. So that if, let us say, you have a basket full, we'll refer to basketfuls. Let us say then you've got 10 basketfuls of untithed fruit. 9 of them are fresh figs, 1 of them is a basket full of dried figs, and they're all the same size baskets. This source is saying, I am allowed to remove a basket full of dried figs to cover the basket full of the baskets full of fresh figs. E amrs bishlomo kamos shehein shapir. If you say that we look at things as they are right now, well, as they are right now, there is one basket full of dried figs that represents one tenth of the baskets. Elo iamris lekamos shehein, meaning shehoyu. If you look at things as they were, well, I have the one basket full of dried figs. In fact, if you look at them as they were once fresh figs. So it's not a basket full of dried figs translated into fresh figs might be as much as twice the amount, might be two basketfuls. In other words, if you were to expand the dried figs into fresh figs, they would require much more than the basket that contains them right now. So if you take the approach that we said just before, view things as they were, that won't be good over here. Marbe b'maisrusu, you'll be involved with the problem that we alluded to before of too much is taken off as miser. You're taking off more than a tenth. So, at this point in the Gemara, to suggest that the way to look at things was as they were, that doesn't jive with the Seifa. Ela, hocha betruma gedoy laskinon. The sources that we just read, in which we have featured a diamond, you see in two of the sources, we didn't point this out earlier, but it's never too late. You can see the earlier source had the word beminyon in a diamond, and this source has the word bemida in a diamond. These sources are not talking about the tithing of maisrus. The tithing of maisrus demands an exact tenth, 10%. However, these sources are dealing with the tithing of Truma Gedola. Truma Gedola is the tithe given to a Kohen. The Torah does not delineate an exact amount for Truma Gedola. There's, we'll call it, a level of flexibility. And therefore, V'resha ba'ayin yofeh, V'seifa ba'ayin yofehi. The resha and seifa, and we've noted before the expression resha, that's where the previous inverted triangle had appeared, and the Seifa, which was just a few lines above with the double underline. These two sources, the Reishan Seifa, represent a person who is tithing the Truma with an Ayin Yofe, means with generosity. So that if we just go back over the source that had Beminyon in a diamond, what did we see over there? We saw a person had a fixed number of individual units. If we go back to our example, he had 10 fruits, nine of which were dried figs in the former example, and one fresh fig. He's trying to give a large quantity, so to speak, as from a generous quantity. So instead of giving one of the ten fruits in the grogros form, he chose to give a fresh fig, which is actually larger than the dried ones. So that's an example of ayin yofe. In the seifa, where he had the baskets full, he decided to give a basket full of dried figs to cover the nine. We're not saying nine; that would be a mistake. We're talking about truma gedola. So he's using. He's using dried figs to cover the fresh figs, and he's giving an appropriate number of dried figs to cover the Truma Gedola tithing, and as a result of that, it's considered Ayin Yofe. because those dried figs he's giving in terms of midah, not in terms of individual units, but midah, a measure of dried figs that corresponds to the required measure for Truma Gedola, which covers the fresh figs. The Gemara asks, well, Ihochi, if this is your analysis, namely that we're talking about Truma Gedola, which we mentioned before, does not have a specific Torah-ordained amount, Amos Seifa, let's continue in that same Tanaic source, the latter part of it. It says, Omar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, Abohoya Noitel Eser Grogro Shebemiktsoya, Al Tishim Shebekalkola. Rabbi Yossi used to take one of is a 10 grogros, 10 out of 100, in other words, 10 grogros to cover 90. The 10 grogros in the miksoa. Miksoa is the name of a vessel in which figs were placed. They were dried in that. And the kalkola is a vessel that contains fresh figs. So what did Rabbi Yossi do? He would take 10 grogros, 10 dried figs, as tithe to cover the 90 fresh ones in the kalkola, in the basket. Now, the Ima Truma Gedola, if the source, as you explained before, was dealing with the Truma Gedola tithe, my avidite, what's the Eser, my avidite? What's the purpose of mentioning Eser, the number 10? 10 doesn't figure when you're dealing with the Truma Gedola tithe. Elo? Hocha betrumas meiser askinan. What the Gemara is doing right now is it's avoiding the issue of the formal meiser tithe, because if you do explain things in the formal meiser tithe, we got ourselves in trouble with regard to kamos shehoyu or kamos shehain. But what are we talking about? We're talking about the trumas meiser tithe. Trumas Meiser is the tithe removed after the Levi received his 10% of the fruits. The Levi then was expected to give of his tenth a tenth to the Kohanim. The Abba Elazar ben Gomel Hu. The sources above, in other words, the what we labeled above as Reisha, and the first Seifa labeling, namely before we got to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, the sources we labeled above as Reisha and Seifa, which Seifa began with the word Grogros and said Grogros Altein and Bemida. Those sources are talking about Trumas Meiser. And in conformity with Rabbi Elazar, with Abba Elazar ben Gomel's approach. We will see in a minute his approach, and we've noted on the side, the outside margin, the Nosei, Hafroshes Trumas Meiser Bo'imed, the tithing of the Trumas Meiser, where the Levi removes his tithe from the Meiser that he received. Bo'imed means through estimation. This is the Shita, this is the Shita of Abba Elazar, Shitas Abba Elazar ben Gomel. So that what we were speaking about before of Ayin Yofe, that would still apply, and that's because according to Abba Elazar ben Gomel, the tithing of the Trumas Meiser can be done in the same way that Truma itself is taken. We said before that we didn't want to analyze these sources as in terms of Truma itself, because then the Seifa where Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi came in, would not have made any sense. However, now that we're explaining the sources above as referring to Trumas Meiser, Trumas Meiser is a tenth of the tenth. Well, tenth of the tenth, we can understand what Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi was talking about when mention was made of 10 to cover 90. Because when you're dealing with Trumas Meiser, the issue of 10% is quite relevant. As far as the earlier sections of this source, what we labeled before as Reisha and Seifa, those are in fact talking about Trumas Meiser as well. However, the method of removal can be done through estimation. And that's what the source, the Gemara now introduces, the background or the source for this Shita. V'abolozer ben Gomel hu, desanya, abolozer ben Gomel omer, v'nechshav lochem trumaschem. B'shtei trumos hakosu medaber. This pasuk that talks about the tithing of trumas is a reference to, is referring to two kinds of trumas. Achas truma gedoyla v'achas trumas meiser. Truma gedola is the tithe that the owner takes off and gives to a kohen, and trumas meiser is the tithe that the levi gives 10% of that which he received to the kohen. Kesheim shetruma gedola nitelas ba'oymed v'machshava, just like trumas, the truma gedola can be taken through estimate and through mere thinking meaning as opposed to physical separation, even if you design in your mind from where you want to take off the truma gedola, that mere thought becomes binding. Kach trumas meiser nitelas ba'oymed uv'machshava. Likewise, trumas meiser, which is what's important for our current discussion, can also be tied through estimation. Ma truma gedola ba'en yofe, av trumas meiser ba'en yofe. Just like truma gedola, there is a possibility, there's no problem of marbe b'trumas, like there was a problem with marbe b'meisris, so too by trumas meiser, you can take a generous quantity as well. And with that, we would then understand, we can go back to those sources that we have on Nun Dalet Amud Beis, the Reisha and the Seifa, the sources that had the diamonds in them, B'minyon and B'midah, and analyze them as one tithing his, as a levy tithing his trumas meiser with a generous approach to his tithing, and not become embroiled in the issue of the kamos shehoyu or kamos shehain controversy. However, as the Gemara is relentless, it says umina. But from the very same source, we can go back to our discussion of kamos shehoyu or kamos shehain achshav. What did we see? The following: Omar Belozer Rav Yossi. Rabbi Yossi used to mafresh, used to take as a tithe 10 dried figs to cover 90 fresh ones. E amres bishlam lekamos shehein misharinon. If you say that you look at things as they were shapir, then this will make sense. It might be worth emphasizing that Abolozer Rabbi Yossi does not subscribe to the taking off Ba'omed, but he is of the opinion that you're supposed to take things off exactly, and Trumas Meiser is one-tenth of one-tenth. So that the, in other words, as far as the Levi is concerned, the Trumas Meiser is 10% of what he personally received. So that if you have a Levi that received 100 fruits, 10 dried figs, 90 fresh ones, meaning 10 plus 90, 100, and the levy takes off the 10 dried ones to cover the 90 fresh ones, the only way that will be appropriate is if you say, look at things the way they were, so that the 10 dried figs were in fact once 10 fresh figs. So you're taking 10 to cover 90, which is appropriate when you're dealing with Trumas Meiser. Elo Yamris Kamos Shehein. If, however, you say, look at things as they are right now. So what's he doing? He's taking off 10 dried figs, but the 10 dried figs in terms of amount, they're shriveled. They're less than 10% when viewed in the context of the 90 fresh ones. That's botsir lehu. He's taking off too little. So at this point then, we would seem to have proof to strengthen the position of Reish Lakish. Look at things as they were in the past. The Gemara rejects that and says, Ki osa Rav Dimi om Rav Elazar. When Rav Dimi came, he said in the name of Rav Elazar, Shiny Grogros. The issue of dry figs is different. Shehoyel v'yachol l'sholkan v'lachzirim l'kamos shehen. Dried figs are easily restored to being like the fresh figs. If you take dried figs and boil them up, the sholkan, you boil them up, they expand, and they very easily become like the fresh ones, and therefore, taking off 10 dried ones is a legitimate form of tithing, and it does not constitute botsir lehu, it doesn't constitute giving too little, and therefore, we can't use this example to prove that you are to look at things as they were. Because dry figs, even if you look at them as they are right now, they're easily made into what they once were. Therefore, you can look at them as they are right now, and it's considered a legitimate tithing as well. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.